I'd like to welcome everyone to this hangout on gamification. We are recording this hangout, although it's not being broadcast live. So this is not a Google On Air live, but it is being recorded and subsequently will be uploaded to YouTube for others to view, as well as those who are participating, obviously. And in the event you have to leave, it will be recorded so you can view this later. The topic of today's discussion is gamification, and I'd like to share very briefly a couple of online communities that I'd like to share. And again, for those who are watching this recording and feel they also want to participate in the future, this is where you can find more information about how to do so. So I'll go ahead and share my screen and show you two online communities. The first being Learning Together. Every week on Sunday or Monday, typically there are discussions being conducted in Hangouts regarding all different kinds of topics. So you're free to check out this website and see when the next scheduled event is coming up, and you're encouraged to participate if you wish. We also have Teachers for Interactive Language Learning, and this is a Google Plus community. And you're also encouraged to check this out, and upcoming events will also be posted here as well. So these are very informal, open discussions about basically any topics related to education. This specific community is more geared towards language learning and teaching, but the topics vary. And we invite all of you who are watching this recording to take part in the activities that are going on in this community, as well as the hangouts that are typically being conducted on a weekly basis. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about gamification, and the idea really of gamification came from this event that I posted about 2 weeks ago, actually. And we had someone ask about gamification. And I thought it was kind of interesting because personally I don't have a lot of experience with gamification. And I thought, well, this might be a good opportunity to conduct a hangout with the hopes that others can join in and share their experiences and opinions regarding how they use gamification in their own local context. And as well as for me to do a little bit of investigation and look and seeing what others are saying about gamification. But before we do that, Diana, I'd like if you could maybe just short introductions, maybe talk about what you teach, and if you'd like to comment on gamification, if you've had much experience with using it in your local teaching and learning context.
I'm the teacher of English, a tutor of English. And now I teach mostly online, and I work with adult learners most of the time. So games sound so exciting to me. I would love to use more games with adult learners as well. I know that adult learners love games as well. That's why I got really interested. I like the term gamification. But I had no opportunity to use games in my teaching too much, because I am teaching adults, and sometimes they feel really reluctant to play a game, you know. Mm-hmm. Just I should hide that this is a game. They love games, but they don't love to be, you know, playing games during the lesson time. I don't know, too serious to play.
And have you tried any games within your experience? Have you tried or experimented with the use of games in your language classes with your adults?
Well, Actually, with children, I used to have more younger learners, and we played some language games, but, you know, I usually teach face-to-face, one-on-one classes, so it's also very limited, the limited number of players, so it's not as much fun as it is, but I play games with my little one all the time, and she enjoys, she's searching the net all the time, and she's finding her games, herself. English games, I don't know, language games. Actually, sometimes I come to her and I can see that she is playing a good one, which I can use probably later. Sometimes she's teaching me how to use games and how to find them.
Yeah, one of the things that when I started thinking about our discussion today about gamification, and one of the things that I have always, I guess, struggled with is to really know what it is exactly, gamification,
right.
And what's the connection with education. In my
right.
particular case, I teach in a university, so it's a formal educational context.
Yes.
So I guess I've always kind of struggled with the idea of gamification and how it fit into some formal teaching and learning context. But I was looking at some of the links in our events,
mm-hmm.
and I was looking at some of the videos in YouTube, and there's a lot of information. But one of the things that I came across from the very beginning, looking at what is gamification, one of the definitions that struck my interest was from a YouTube video that's called Fun is the Future, Mastering
mm-hmm.
Gamification. So later you can Google this, for those especially watching the videos or watching this recording. There is a discussion about what is gamification, and the speaker
mm-hmm.
defines it as the process of using game thinking and mechanics to engage audiences and solve problems. The key words here being game thinking, okay, so
mm-hmm.
we have an idea of obviously has something to do with games, and to engage audiences and solve problems. So we have this word engage, right, which I get, gamification,
yeah.
you can engage the learners, which is always a good thing.
Right.
But when we talk about intersecting this idea of gamification with education, we also have to look at what's, are we being effective in the teaching? So if they're playing a game, are they really learning what they
right.
need to be learning within the formal context? And the idea of solving problems, which there's been a lot of research, problem-based learning, and, you know, so that makes sense. But I think one of the things that that I was concerned about is here, how do you engage the learners but also meet the objectives in a way that's effective and efficient? Hello, Marilina.
Hi, Benjamin.
How are you? Glad you could make it today.
Fine. Yeah. I'm interested in the topic, so yeah, I wanted to be present and to hear what others have got to say about it.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I think, too, that you were the one that brought up the idea of gamification for today's topic, which I thought was a great topic.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we can have some discussions here. I was mentioning to Diana earlier that I'm not an expert on gamification, but I thought this would be a good opportunity for me personally to learn more about it and hopefully hear from others from their experiences with gamification and education. Marianne, welcome. Hello. So with this initial definition of gamification being game thinking and engaging audiences, I came across another interesting definition, which was from a link that we shared in our Google Plus event, what is a game? So we had this idea of what is gamification, but what is a game? And the video from Joe Kim, I don't know if you had a chance to look at that. It's a great video, I think. It's about 30 minutes. But she defines a game very broadly as a structured experience with rules and goals that's fun. That's her definition. A structured experience with rules and goals that's fun. And she also replaces the word fun with pleasurable or satisfying, engaging, and habit-forming. But you have some sort of a structured experience with some sort of rules, and that the students, again, are engaged or they feel that is enjoyable for them. And so to repeat myself here, one of the things personally that I always try to reconcile with the idea of gamification is how does that fit within an educational, a formal educational context, and be able to meet curriculum goals, objectives that are set, you know, prior for the learners. And, you know, I think that's one of the things, one of the questions that I'll be kind of asking myself throughout not only our discussion and going forward, but this video with Jo Kim, she defines two different types of approaches when you set up a game. And one is called, she refers to as a zero-sum game, where you obviously have winners and losers, and you have opponents, and the idea is to basically dominate or win over your opponent. And you have a non-zero-sum game, which is basically a win-win game, and it's more collaborative, and there are partnerships that are involved, and so that you have basically these two general categories that are set up for gaming. And I think she's arguing for the non-zero game over the zero-sum game. I don't know if you all have experience. I've asked this with Diana first. I don't know, Marilena, if you have had experience with gamification, and if so, what type of game did it work well for you in your context?
I started to get interested in gamification. Can you hear me well?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I started to get interested in gamification because one of my students one day came up and said, oh teacher, why cannot we have something that looks like a video game? Like we can have, because in a video game we usually have leaderboards and you can have badges and you can have scores and you can have someone who ranks first and the others who are not as good. So say, why cannot we have something like this in our class? So I started thinking about it and I tried a game and that was done in groups. Do you know, there is a site that is called Girls Go Games, and it is thought mainly for girls, but it is a site where you have to play, do a room or a makeup, a face, or things like this. And there was one, it was around Christmas, and we had this game, and they had to listen to a description of the room I made. And they had in groups to try and understand it first. My students are young. This is something I have to say in advance. My students are very young. These students were 11, so very young. And they had to listen to this description of the room, which was full of details and full of prepositions. I teach English, so in English is a foreign language. So they were listening to this description, and they had to do the game and do the room as it was in the description, exactly the way it was in the description. And when they had finished, they had to take a screenshot of the room they had made, and they had to send it to me. And that was done in groups. They were setting groups, and then I had it was a race between them, those who could manage to get the more details in the shortest time and the closer to the description of the room, and that was fine. They had a great interest. Everybody was listening hard and trying to contribute to the game, and they had to do this. And that worked very well. So I thought, well, maybe this is a good way of getting students motivated and interested in learning. This is my experience. Then I also tried another thing that is called Zondo. I don't know if you have ever seen it. And this is mainly for quizzes, and I had quizzes about grammar essentially, but each time you get your answer right, you are allowed to play one level of a game, and then the next question you have a level up and so on. So and it is a game like there is kicking the ball in the goal for boys was very good because they could kick the ball in the goal and get a higher scores than their friends. Or you could do other sports things that were sports races, or even things like there was a sort of memory game you could do. But you can choose the game that you want to play. So you answer the questions, which are grammar questions, but you can also play a game each time you get it right. And this is my experience. Don't know if anyone else has got other type of experience.
Sounds very interesting, Marilina. And I wanted to kind of go back to the first activity where you talked about your students describing the rooms. Can you talk a little bit more about the platform that they used and how they uploaded this description? Was it just audio or was it audio and video? Can you talk a little bit more about that experience?
Well, the description, I went to this place, it's Glasgow Games, and I found, I found that they could do a Christmas room where you had the Christmas trees, you have the chair and the table, and you can have a square table, a round table, and all these things, and you have to put them in the right place in the room. All these things, the room looks empty at the beginning, and you add all these items which you can arrange in the room, and you can make large, you can make small. So I prepared myself a description of this room based on the Christmas vocabulary they knew, like crackers, pudding, and a Christmas tree, and all these things, and holly, and all these things. And I made a description of this room. I recorded it, and they could listen to it, and I put it on Edmodo. The platform I was using with them was Edmodo. So I put the audio on Edmodo. They could listen to the audio, and they had, at the same time, to go to the Glasgow Games place that I pointed to and do the room in the same way as the description was, as in the description. And once they had finished, they could take a screenshot of the room, and the screenshot, they had to send it through Edmodo to me to complete the assignment and get marked.
Excellent. And do they create, does each student create a login, or do you create a space as a teacher and then they all enter there? How does that work?
In Edmodo, I create a class and each student joins the class using a code.
Okay, do they create an account in this website, girlsgogames.com?
No, you needn't create an account. Okay. It doesn't, yeah, no. Then you just go there and you choose your game. There are many, many games. You choose your game, and I pointed them directly to the game I wanted, which was the Create a Christmas Scene. And they had to listen to my description, just create this scene, and that is why I asked them to take a screenshot of the room that they created, because otherwise it was impossible for me to go to the game and check
right.
what they had done.
Well, that sounds intriguing. It really sounds interesting.
Yeah.
How did your students respond? Did you feel that you had most of your students engaged in that particular activity?
They were very, very engaged. As I said, they were working in groups. And also the weakest students in the group, they were trying to listen and trying to contribute to the creation of this room, and each detail they could pick from the description. And the description was quite long, was not an easy one, because you had things on the table and on the right and next to and underneath the table. and you had the chairs, one on the right and the other on the left, and it was quite complex. So they had to get all these names. They had the blue on the table, the green on the pink. Was a play table. I think it was a very good activity they did. They got very interested and they wanted to repeat it, really. They asked me, can we repeat that? I told them, well, you can try and do your own, but then it was holiday, Christmas holiday and everything sort of fainted, but they were very interested.
I'm curious, were most of your
yes,
language
Diana,
learners,
it's free.
Were they girls or boys, mixed of girls and boys?
Half-half. At the beginning, when the boys, so the name girls go games, they got a little off. They said, well, this is for girls. I said, no, the Christmas room. So that when they saw it, they say, well, it's okay. at the beginning, they said, girls go get it. No, for girls. It's not good.
Great. So would you consider this participation more collaborative?
Diana,
or were they competing against each
other? If the site Girls Go Games is free.
Yes, I got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know this site because my little daughter is using it all
okay.
the time. Yes, yes. She loves it.
Yeah.
Have you seen that TotalDiary.com?
My daughter as well.
Yeah, this TotalDiary.com is, there are a lot of games over there, and some of them are not just English games. They are like science, you know, for elementary students. They can be modified, actually, and there are some cool games over there. My daughter found it, you know, so I'm sharing.
TotalDiary. Yeah. Actually, I'm thinking of using another Girls Go game, which is for making a face and making up a face, helping them with the description. But I have to be careful because I cannot use only girls' faces. I have to also find a boy's face to make up. Otherwise, boys will get I love to play Series 11 and sexy video. Yeah, I'm back.
Great.
Well, yes, before starting the task, I usually tell my students how they are assessed, always. And this time I said that you're going to gain a point if you're first, or yes, a point, well, point or more, one point if you get it in a certain time, and then you're going to get 1 point for each detail you get right. This is the way they were assessed. So, can you hear me? Again?
Yes. So when they say it right, like when they describe correctly the room, is that, do you?
Yeah, when they get 1 point. You have several details in the description, and each detail is 1 point.
Okay.
Okay?
Great. Got it, yeah.
Yeah.
Great. And did you see any difference? I know that you mentioned that the boys at the beginning were a little bit reluctant to participate in this, but then they did. But once both the boys and the girls were both participating in this activity, did you see any differences between those two as far as they were in the way that they either approached the game or their actual performance?
Oh, yeah, sure. The girls are... Well, the boys were more like listen it once or twice, then let's get together and see what each one got. The girls were just listening bit at a time and making sure they understood every word. And this is the different approach they have to every task at that age. Usually girls are more, analytical, while the boys tend to be more superficial. They just get the overview of the thing, and that is enough for them.
Don't care
and
much.
As far as no, this is a boy approach. That is, it is typical of boys aged 11. It is difficult to find boys that go deep in the task and make notes of new words and ask questions. No, they just get the whole the overview of the thing, and that is fine. And they're more interested in competing, so they were more interested in being the first one to get the screenshot.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I thought. They wanted to be the first at the finish line.
Did you happen to see the video of Amy Jo Kim that I shared in the event where she's the CEO for ShuffleBrain, and she talked about gamification? And one of her observations was that boys typically participate. They're more competitive. They're more of someone winning, someone losing type of mentality versus girls who seem to be more collaborative. Do you think that was the case with your experience with this activity?
Definitely. Unfortunately, I could not make groups in which there were boys and girls together because they don't want to be together in groups. And otherwise, I would have put boys and girls in the same group just to make it a little bit more equal and get rid of this problem with the different approaches. But they don't want to be in a group. Boys don't want to be with girls and girls don't want to be with boys.
Yeah, I'm going to type in. I was curious. In the same presentation, Kim identified four different types of social engagement that are typical with different game settings. And I'm going to type these into the chat. But the first is self-expression. The second one is competing. We have cooperating and exploring. So basically her point of view is that within any game, you have these types of social engagements. Self-expression, competing, cooperating, and exploring. If you had to, kind of reflecting on your own, this particular game, how would you categorize the type of social engagement of any of these four categories that
Well, definitely
mentioned?
It was competing and cooperating, because they were competing with the other groups, and at the same time they were cooperating within the group to get the task done and done correctly.
So they were competing between them as far as describing it better than their classmates.
Yeah.
Is that
exactly? And they were cooperating within the group because they were trying to get each one was trying to get a different detail of the description.
So the score, did you score them individually
by group,
or did you score them by group?
By group essentially. I scored them by group. But the group was not very large, was like three people in the group.
Okay. And so each group knew each other's scores, so there was a ranking.
Yeah, right.
Who came in first?
This
who came
is allowed
in second?
in a Mojo. Okay. You can give the scores and everybody, and you can make it public and you can say. I then showed them at the end of the game, I showed them which was the right the right picture they had to get, the right description, and so they could realize the mistakes that they made, and also they could, I told them what their scores were, a sort of leaderboard we got. We have the first ones. And I must say that it was quite strange because the group that got the highest mark was a group where there was a girl and she's blind. Yeah. She's blind, but she's very good at English. So maybe she has developed listening more than...
Definitely, she's a good listener.
Right, yeah. Yeah, she's a good listener, and they got the top mark.
Absolutely. With any type of group activity, it's been my experience that sometimes you have slackers, you have those students who don't participate, or they participate less than others. One, was that a problem in your case, or two, how did you, I guess, work and see how the students were actually working together? So was the process part of the grading at all, or was it just
the final
performance?
I was overlooking at the groups and how they were working, because I have a separate mark that I give for group work anyway. It was not part of this assignment, as it was not part of this grade, but I have a mark that I give for being able of working in groups correctly. And they know that they have to negotiate with the others. And as I said, it was a very small group, only three people. And in this case, there were no slackers. They were all trying to do their best to get the picture right.
Yes. How did you group them?
Great. Diana,
was it you who grouped them, or did they choose their partners themselves?
Well, half-half. I grouped them. I tried to put the strongest in English with the weakest. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would have not worked at all, because they can't understand English at all. So I put the strongest with the weakest in a way, but always being careful to put in together people who like each other, okay? Because if they don't like particularly boys, they start fighting,
right.
And it's not good.
Oh, yes. Okay, good.
And particularly in this class. Not in others, but in this class, mm-hmm. boys tend to find a lot, to fight a lot between them if they don't like one another.
Interesting.
Yes, I mean, being a teacher means also to adapt to class.
Right.
For the people you have.
Speaking of adapting, was there anything that you had to adapt for after you got started in this activity?
Well,
something you realized that just
yes,
wasn't working well?
They were not used to listening, so that was a little bit difficult. And sometimes I had to go and repeat myself the passage from the description and repeat it for the group in order to make them concentrate and understand the details. In some groups, that was necessary. In others, it wasn't. But in some groups, it was necessary because they could not concentrate and get meaning of what I was saying, just listening and not looking at a text or at a person speaking. I don't know if you got the point.
Great.
Not for now.
Anything? Any other questions, Diana, that you have would like to ask? One of the I'd like to talk just one more point about the video. The videos, in fact, And again, these links can be found in the event, the Google Plus events that we set up for this Hangout. Kim's video was really interesting, I thought, and she brought up a lot of, I think, important points when considering gamification and learning in general. One of the things she mentioned was intrinsic motivators, and that the notion that intrinsic motivation really is dominant and really overrides extrinsic motivators. And she mentioned three in particular that I thought were interesting. Again, these are intrinsic motivators in gamification. The first being autonomy. And she's defining this as the desire to direct one's own life. So they are able to make their own decisions and adapt and choose the way in which they prefer to learn. The second intrinsic motivator she listed was mastery, or the urge to get better at something that matters. And I like this definition because it doesn't necessarily mean that they are quote-unquote expert, but that it's the urge of getting better at something that matters. So I thought that was, I think, an important definition and distinction, instead of simply just listing the term mastery as being an expert of something. And the third intrinsic motivator beyond autonomy and mastery was purpose. So she also called this belonging, so that there was a need, there was a desire to be part of something bigger than themselves. And I thought that these three really rang true, thinking in terms of formal education, which is my particular context. How can we make any lesson, basically, where we incorporate these intrinsic motivators, being autonomous, that the students are getting better at something that matters in terms of mastery, and purpose, that there's a reason for doing what they're doing, and that they feel that what they are doing is going beyond just their own personal interests. And I think that's something for me personally, when I reflect on trying to find ways of using gamification in classes, is how to really take advantage and use these intrinsic motivators in my classes. I don't know how you all feel about those, or if there's some other motivators that you found considered.
Yes, I also listened, and now I'm trying to find it. But I also listened to another talk, and I can't remember the name of the man there. And he was also saying that games are important, and it is good if the skills they teach are skills that you can use for your life. I mean, it is not just learning, for instance, history, but learning with history is something that you can take as a skill for your life. Like you learn about, cooperating with other people, or helping others, or other skills that you can use for your life, and not just disciplinary skills, not just notions.
Yes, yes, I completely agree.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
Topic, but yeah. I was just curious if either one of you have ever used VoiceThread.
Actually, for speaking, I haven't used VoiceThread much because
have you used
I just
it more for speaking.
I forgot about it actually. Yeah, but then I found it again, and I found it very interesting. So, but yeah, I've told you, Benjamin, already that my problem is not a problem actually, that my classes are very small, one person, just one student, one teacher. So to involve a student in a kind of a game, sometimes it's challenging, especially with adult learners. They feel that they are, you know, adult, that games are not the part of the learning process, and that's the problem sometimes. If you say the same task, if you give the same task with another words, not just, okay, we're playing the game right now, it will work perfectly fine for them. But if you mention the game, they may seem, okay, we're not playing games here. you know, we're learning the language and it's very serious stuff. So with younger learners, it is good. It is good. But sometimes I find it hard to engage them, to explain the rules, you know, to show them how to do, especially when this is over, you know, on Skype or on Google Hangout. It is tough because when you have the child here, you can show, you can, you know, do that. And just doing the talking, not showing something, sometimes it is hard for them to get the rules. And it takes a lot of time. Instruction takes a lot of time. How do you, I have another question to Marilina, how do you reduce this time of instruction? So there is a new game, and you need to explain the rules. You have to explain the rules. So what do you do to make it as quick as possible?
I say that today you're going to play this game, and for instance, for the one I did is, well, okay, you're going to play this game. You're going to listen to a description, and then you're going to do this room. But it is usually very easy because as soon as they see the game, they know what it is about.
Mm-hmm. So they
and
know this game.
I have this platform at Moodle that they're used to using. And I'm not only an online teacher, I'm a face-to-face teacher.
Right.
So I am there, so if they have problems, I can help. But
yes.
It's very quick because I put everything on Edmodo. They know they go to Edmodo and they have instructions here. And they read, they go to the link, and they see it, and they can listen to the... Yeah, it's very easy in Edmodo because they know how to use it. No.
So they had never played the game before? Because I was thinking to Deanna's question also, I'm wondering, thinking in her context with one learner, just a few learners, if there's a learning experience or an opportunity for those adult learners maybe to play a game that they've already played. I'm thinking like Farmville. I've never played Farmville before, but you know, there are certain games that even adults play, and I'm wondering if there's a way to use those experiences, those learning experiences, and turn that into a language learning class. Very simply, you know, Farmville, just describing what they created in Farmville, and the teacher kind of
and I think
a Socratic
that on
method
Facebook,
approach
there are also
to ask
games
questions
where you can cooperate with
well,
others.
Why
and,
did you
and,
how did you determine
so this is
how you
an
to
opportunity
create
you can
and so on.
Be
I'm
part of the game as a teacher,
you know, that would
and
be an
ask questions within the game. And then you can have a role play game and you can be within the game. Or another thing that could work is like a scavenger hunt.
Okay.
A treasure hunt, and where they can go to places, and you can ask, well, okay, you go to this place, and at this place you have to look for this, mm-hmm. and report it to me, and then the next time you have a different one, and so on. And there are places I was saving, and look at this place. I hope to get it right.
Well, I think
I don't know,
there
Deanna,
is a
do you
possibility,
think that
but now I'm thinking about the
maybe you getting involved in some of these games with
about
your
the same game.
Learner.
Which I can use with my online learner, for example, a child. Actually, now I'm thinking about the same type of game. So Yesterday I found out about on Google Drive there is another tool, very nice whiteboard, which is called, I forgot the name, my goodness, it's I've never seen it before actually, maybe it's new, but maybe I could not find it before. Whiteboard, and it is very interactive, and you can use it cooperatively, at the same time, simultaneous whiteboard thing. And actually, if you have some pictures, and you can arrange them, you know, you can draw the room, and you can arrange them with your student, actually, that would be a great idea to do, because... you can work at the same time simultaneously, which is absolutely wonderful. So nowadays with technology, actually, I can do a lot of stuff much more effective. So it's good. It's a good idea, actually. I like that. Scavenger. Yeah, the link. I can see the link now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a place where you can have challenges connected to this. And it's I have never tried it. I was just having a look at it. It's something that came in my I'm following a course and a MOOC about gamification, and that is WordPress is another thing.
I just wanted to say to remember. I just remembered about WebQuest as well. Yeah, it should work.
Yeah. And I've got if you want I can share this because I've got a Google thing about gamification, and if you like I can make it public so you can
pulling up your link here,
have a look at it, and it's a list of sites where you can find other things. And this one, the link that I put, talks about using gamification in business, so with adults, essentially. And this is something that Diana was saying, and if there are adults who say, I'm adult, I don't want to play games. So you can see how they did it here.
Yeah, that'd be great if you could share that. I know from a business English standpoint, a long time ago, I used, there were some websites where you could actually buy, you were giving, you know, money, and you could buy stocks, and you could manage your own stocks, and that went over pretty well for those who were studying English, and you could turn a lot of those experiences that they had with buying and selling stock into the classroom, into a class. So it's almost leveraging the game itself and creating additional activities that kind of work in conjunction with the game itself. But that was, I thought that was kind of interesting, and some of the learners, I think, responded well to learning all of the key vocabulary words that came with, in this case, buying and selling stock on Wall Street. And obviously it was a simulation, it wasn't real money, but that... there's several financial pages that offer this just for fun to give the readers kind of an idea about how to buy and sell stock.
Okay.
And the stocks were
at the
based
beginning,
on real prices, so
I think Diana was
the money was fake,
about,
but the actual stock prices were coming directly from the New York Stock Exchange.
World Peace Game, yes.
And
it was
I want to
part simulation.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of it was
okay.
Actually
there is a site where you can find a lot of games,
world,
and you can play those also with others. It's Games for Change, and they've also got this. They also teach things like being safe and environmental safety and other things which are not. Yeah.
Cool.
You can find a lot of these things. Yes. Unfortunately, I have to leave you now, and because it's late.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and we can continue the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great topic. Very interesting.
Yes, we can keep on discussing it. Okay, bye-bye. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Evening, yeah. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you very much. We can go ahead and wrap it up here. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, it's cool. It's very interesting.
All right, Marilena, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
bye-bye.
You.
Take care. And Deanna, thank you very much. I think
thank
we'll
you so much.
Wrap,
I hope to be
up,
here.
Certainly,
bye-bye.
You know, hopefully we can continue this conversation and certainly share some of your experiences, and I will as well, and what some of your experiences with gamification, and we can hopefully continue talking about this later. But thank you very much for your attendance and participation. And hope to see you next time. All right. All righty. Take care. Bye-bye.